Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Here, I'm Still Here, and The Damned.
The new movie called Here, that has a really excellent title because it is very much about being here. It is very, very much about being in one place. Although it couldn't be called now because that one place passes through an enormous number of different time periods as we watch the movie. It's a very unusual film, and I have to say that the reviews of it have been extremely negative. So my own bottom line opinion of the movie is that it's not as bad as so many people seem to think it is. It's not very good, but my gosh, I just have to salute the boldness, the unusual quality of what it's about. It's a very experimental movie in some ways, and I always feel that the movies need to take more risks and that people need to be more adventurous in their movie going. So I have to salute this very experimental film, even though it doesn't quite succeed at what it wants to pull off. Movie was made, directed by Robert Zemeckis, and I want to mention something about him because he's been around for a really long time, and he's made movies that I consider very good and movies that I consider very bad along the way. I started many, many years ago, way back in the 70s, with movies like I Want to Hold Your Hand, and then at the beginning of the 80s, Used Cars. Back in those days, he was affiliated to some extent with Steven Spielberg. And then he made all different kinds of movies, Romancing the Stone, Back to the Future. He made all three of the Back to the Future movies. And of course, especially the first one was a gigantic hit. He made Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is a very, again, experimental kind of a movie. Part live action, part animation, and those two different modes very, very beautifully fused together. It's a really, really interesting and well-done movie. However, in the middle 90s, he made Forrest Gump, a movie which was a huge hit, but which I find absolutely awful. I just really don't like it. Sentimental, bad stuff. However, in that movie, and in other stuff that he's made, I'll mention Cast Away, which he made in 2000. He worked very much with Tom Hanks, who is very much a presence in Zemeckis' new movie Here. So anyway, those are some of the movies that has made over the years. Again, some very good stuff, I think, some very bad stuff, I think. I want to throw in a word about a movie he made just 10 years ago, The Walk, which was his 3D movie, when a lot of major directors were experimenting with 3D. And I think The Walk is absolutely a terrific movie. That's partly because I'm an acrophobe, and this movie, The Walk, is about a real-life thing that happened when a high wire artist walked across a tiny little wire between the two towers of the World Trade Center, which still existed back then. I thought The Walk was a really amazing movie. So again, Zemeckis, good movies, bad movies. His new movie is not very good, but once again, as in The Walk, his 3D movie, as in Forrest Gump, which has Tom Hanks popping up in all different periods of history, and in some of his other work, Zemeckis is willing to do what I think the movies need to do more, which is to take risks, to try new things, to challenge audiences, to just try to deal with something they haven't really seen before. So all of that is my intro. Now to talk a bit about the movie Here. The whole movie, almost, not quite the whole movie, takes place in a single room of a single house. The house has a nice big sort of bay window in the front, and we see the older house, which is across the way, kind of a mansion. And what we have throughout the movie Here, which takes place almost entirely in this one room, this one particular Here, we have various intertwining storylines that take place in different periods, to some extent different periods in history, although most of them them are pretty modern. And we have different families, different people who live in the house, who pass through the room, who do things in the room. And it's, the movie is constantly jumping around in time, forward, backward. Occasionally, in what I think are the absolutely worst portions of the movie, we go back to colonial America when apparently the Revolutionary War is being fought. And the house isn't there then, but the place where the house was built is there already. The place where the house is going to be built. And we have a little bit of talk about Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and things like that. That's that part of the movie really doesn't work at all. Other times we just have different little vignettes of people who live in the house. Sometimes we have African-American people who live in the house. Most often we have white people who live in the house. They go through their little problems, their little triumphs, just their little everyday life things. One man is inventing a new kind of chair in which you can sit and relax and put up a thing to support your feet, a very new invention at the time. I'll give away a little spoiler here. This ultimately becomes the famous Lazy Boy chair, which we see being invented over the course of the movie. We see the Tom Hanks character come in and do various things, and Robin Wright is in it. It has a good cast. Now, one thing else I have to mention, another very interesting and experimental thing in this movie, is the use of this new movie technology that enables people on the screen to look as if they're very different ages. Now, Martin Scorsese used this a bit in his recent film, The Irishman. It's not something that Zemeckis has invented, but I haven't seen anybody use it as extensively and successfully as Zemeckis uses it in here. Particularly, I'll just mention as an example, the Tom Hanks character. Sometimes he really looks like Tom Hanks in his 20s. And sometimes he really looks like Tom Hanks maybe going on 80. And then other times Tom Hanks is various ages in between. And to me, at least, this really worked. It's convincing. It's a visual effect. It's not real stuff, but it doesn't look cartoonish. It doesn't look bogus. It doesn't look fake. It looks very real. And the movie uses it extensively with many, many different characters, which facilitates its ability to tell a series of little stories that intertwine with one another to some extent, and in other ways that remain very separate, but which do deal with people over a very long period of time. And sometimes we're jumping from one person, one family to another, but very often we're staying with the same family at different periods in time. And again, the aging and the de-aging look very, very real to me. So my bottom line about here, again, it's a movie that I think doesn't quite work, but my golly, it's not as bad as many people are saying. And I found it had a few amusing moments, a few touching moments. Above all, you have to get ready to deal with this sort of static quality, because we are always in the same room through almost the entire film. Zemeckis uses a gimmick to kind of get us from one time period to another. By the way, I should mention there's also some prehistoric stuff that comes up a little bit in the movie. The gimmick that he uses is to have a rectangle put in, sort of a computerized effect, and then something new appears in the rectangle, and then the whole screen turns into whatever the rectangle was showing. And so it gives us a transition between different time periods, which is to some extent smooth, to some extent deliberately jarring. The movie is full of things like that. Full of things that are new, that are different, that don't quite work. So even though I don't think Here is a really successful movie, and it certainly is not a hit movie, quite the opposite of that, Robert Zemeckis remains a movie maker who does what I wish more movie makers would do, which is to try new things, to experiment, to challenge themselves, to challenge their audiences. So I hope people give Here a shot. It's streaming now. You can watch it. It's not a riveting film. At times, it's quite a dull film, but it's also in many ways a sort of a sweet film. Above all, it gives you a chance to look at something that you're just not seeing in other movies, and I was very happy to run across that. And now, as Monty Python used to say, for something completely different, I want to talk about I'm Still Here, the new movie by Walter Salles, the very talented Brazilian filmmaker. And this is a movie that takes place in Brazil, and it starts way back, well, it happens actually way back in the early 1970s. Brazil was going through a militar dictatorship. There had been a coup in the middle 60s, and a military dictatorship dictatorship had taken over the country. And there was some people were happy about this, but a lot of people were very unhappy about it. And a lot of people were suffering under this. There were all kinds of bad things going on. The military dictatorship was behaving the way that military dictatorships often happen. There were people who were thrown into jail for no reason whatever, just because the regime didn't like them. There were people who were disappeared. There were people who were tortured. There were people who were executed. All kinds of horrible things happened. So, I'm Still Here deals with a man who is arrested and taken off, and terrible things are done to him. But even more than that, it deals with his family. So, we have here a man who is, his name is Rubens Paiva, and he is an opposition politician. And so, of course, we know that there's going to be trouble for him. He is a happily married man. He and his wife have 5 children, and they have a lovely, happy, busy life. All kinds of nice things going on until he gets on the wrong side of the new dictatorship. Then he is taken off and arrested, and his wife remains at home with the family, and the movie is mainly about the experiences that she goes through. Now, we do know that Rubens was doing things that probably were going to get him in trouble. We know that he was involved in some sort of secret stuff. We see him taking phone calls that are mysterious, and we see him sort of giving off little bits of information to other people in an envelope. And so, yeah, there are things going on here. But mainly we're dealing in this movie with the impact of this on his family. For example, his eldest daughter is out with some friends one day, and she and her friends get stopped at a military checkpoint, and we're really not clear what's going to happen to her. Is something really horrific going to happen to her, or are they just going to try or scare her a little bit and then let her go? The movie has a number of things like that in it, and although this is not exactly new stuff for the movies, all of this is based on stuff that happened in real life, and it's done very effectively. Now, Rubens was a famous and popular politician, so that protects his family to some extent, even after he gets arrested. And in fact, when he is arrested, it's very interesting. He makes no resistance at all. He calmly changes his clothes, calmly puts on a nice new shirt, and is pretty sure that he's going to be back home soon. His wife even offers lunch to the people who have come to arrest him. So they're very calm, and they really do think that this is all, it's just one of those mistakes that happen, and things are going to work out okay. Of course, they don't work out okay, and that is what the movie is about. We see the threats that are leveled against these people, and we see the real, real fear and at some points terror that they have to go through. The movie is by and large a reasonably gentle movie, although there are some pretty awful stuff in it. This is a movie about not about exactly military dictatorship. It's more about the human cost, the human toll, the psychological toll of being in such a country. Fernanda Torres plays Rubens' wife, and she recently won a Golden Globe for her performance. And so that's another reason to go see the movie. It's a very, very well acted movie. Above all, I would say it is a fairly subtle movie about a very difficult situation that happened a long time ago, but certainly has parallels in the world in which we live right now. Walter Salles, who made the movie, he knew the kids of this family when he was young. So he really, really has the authenticity down right. And I can't say that I found I'm Still Here to be exactly a riveting movie, but it's a very interesting movie, a very well-made movie. And I really do recommend that people give it a shot. It's well worth seeing, and it's about very real things in the very real world. Finally, a movie with a very rather uninviting title, The Damned. This is a movie from Iceland. It was directed by a new filmmaker named Thordur Pálsson, and it is, yes, as we might guess from the fact that it was a movie that hails from Iceland, it is a very cold movie. So what we have here is a bunch of people who are working off in the middle of a very, very cold part of a very, very cold land back in the late 19th century. And they are fishermen, and they are trying very, very hard to keep bringing in the catch that they need to pull in, even though the winter is getting worse and worse and worse in a place that is very cold anyway. We also have the owner of the fishing station, who is a young woman. Her husband died. She's still in her teens, and she really is not very experienced with this kind of thing, and now things are going very, very wrong. The fishermen are starving. She is hungry. They don't know how they're going to stay alive. They have to start start eating the fish that they are catching, and oh, things are getting bad here. And then things get even worse because they see another ship way off there in the distance. So, okay, is this going to help them? Is this going to put some more burden on them? It turns out to be the latter. Yes, those sailors on that ship actually have collided with an iceberg, and they desperately need help. They're jumping into the horrible freezing water to try to get help, and the fishermen refuse to help them because their own lives are fully at stake. And that brings on what this movie is really about, which is guilt. The guilt of not helping others, the guilt of surviving when others do not survive, and above all, how are you going to survive when things are getting worse and worse and worse? And then they start worrying that maybe a supernatural monster called the Dragger is going to appear and somehow make their situation even worse than it already is. So that is what The Damned is about. Again, it's to some extent about suffering. It's to some extent about fear. But above all, I think it is about guilt. It often reminded me of an old horror movie made more than once in America. Who Goes There was the original story, and it turned into a horror movie about people, a freezing expedition in the middle of nowhere and trying somehow to survive. This movie is very, very, very much like that. But it's unique. Above all, it's cold. We are now in the winter where I am. If you are in the winter where you are, you may want to see other people in a winter in the movies, or you may want to avoid it. In any case, know that The Damned is a very, very cold movie, a very chilly movie, but it's a very well-made movie, has a lot of suspense. You might enjoy it. The Damned, I would say, is not exactly damned. So that is my somewhat freezing cold story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Here, I'm Still Here, and The Damned.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.